Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Nutrition Awareness Podcast, co-hosted by yours truly, Kate Richardson
and Megan Pacheci. We're two registered dietitians here to make your life easier by debunking diet myths, sharing scientific information about nutrition, and keeping you motivated to reach your goals.
We want to teach you everything we know by giving you real life examples of how we've helped our combined thousands of clients transform their lives, lose weight, and get healthy without having to go on another cookie cutter diet.
On this podcast, we'll be giving you our best advice, strategies, and mindset shifts so you too can reach your goals using food and, most importantly, enjoy the process.
Okay, this is a really special episode because it's the first one I've recorded not alone for a while. Megan's here.
There's more than just me here.
Oh, that was good. Okay. Well, because we're talking about nutrition before conception, nutrition for fertility, I can say that I'm pregnant. And at the time of this podcast, when it comes out, I will be officially out of my first trimester. I'll be 14 weeks.
Yay!
And I was really excited to do this podcast, not just because it's like the only thing I've been thinking about. But I also had a client who was the first client I talked to, or who I told I was pregnant. She made an appointment specifically because her and her husband are going to start trying for a baby in the new year. And she just wanted to make sure she was in the best shape possible and had all of the information and tools and was as healthy as she could be for when she started.
This is a really common thing, I think, of women in their 20s and 30s that we'll talk about during our first consultation is like, I want to be at my best health when we do decide to have a family. Even if it's a year or 2 years down the road, it's something that they're thinking about just way ahead of time. So,
which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you a little story time before we get into the information and the tips. I think a lot of this I was just doing because I'm a dietitian and I'm a healthy person, but I was also not doing a lot of the things we're going to talk about, and I'll point out which ones I did and didn't do. So these are tips to just help you feel prepared to give your body the advantage, but every body is different. And I'm sure people who have been through that fertility journey or have seen people go through a fertility journey have seen somebody who literally takes zero care of themselves, maybe smokes cigarettes, drinks a lot, eats fast food, and has like 8 kids. And then somebody else who literally is the picture. Yes. Yep. And has difficulty. So it is way more complex than eat this, not that. But taking better care of yourself is not only going to help you give you that advantage while you're trying to conceive, but during pregnancy and then afterwards when you become a parent and you're going to need all these healthy habits and you're going to need a good understanding of how to take care of yourself because it's only going to be harder. And I'm sure, Megan, you can speak to that because you do have a kid.
Yeah, and I do want to throw out the disclaimer before we even get started is not necessarily even clients, but friends and friends of friends I have seen get so stressed about what they're eating when they're having a hard time conceiving. Because it's like the one thing that's in your control is what you eat. And so I don't want anyone to come out of this podcast thinking like, it's all about what I eat and I can definitely like choose whether I get pregnant or not based on what I'm eating. Like, it's not that serious, but there are some things we can do to just make you healthier going into it. But I don't want anybody to really stress about what they're eating because I've seen that go very wrong.
In fact, that's the worst thing you could do is add more stress to your life when you're trying to do something that takes a lot of energy from your body. And I think it would be a disservice to people to just say stress less because that's really hard. And stressing less isn't going to be like that magical thing that makes it happen for someone either. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people who try really, really hard to conceive and they are stressed and it works. And then there are people who are calm and relaxed and they still have some trouble. So stress, is it helpful for conceiving? No. is stressing more about food helpful? Also no.
Yeah, the question I tell people to ask themselves is this creating more stress or alleviating stress? So whatever it is, you just ask yourself, is this creating more or is this alleviating some stress? And that usually helps you to kind of make the decision of whether you need to continue doing it or not. One of the great examples of this, I think, is going gluten-free. I don't know why this is such a trend in the fertility space of going gluten-free, but I have seen it cause way more stress than I believe that it's worth, unless you do have something where you can't digest gluten.
I wonder if it stems from the thyroid conversation.
Maybe.
Because there is some evidence to suggest that maybe if you have a dysfunctional thyroid, that it might be harder for you to, you know, conceive. And then when you talk about thyroid health, there is that thread of discussion about gluten-free. Mm-hmm. So I could see the links that are made there, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I ate so much gluten before it happened to me, and I've been eating probably the most gluten I've ever eaten in my life during this first trimester, which we'll talk about on another podcast. So every body is different. I also never really thought I had an issue with gluten before.
Like, yeah,
I didn't. Right. I wasn't having an inflammatory response. Right. If you're getting, you know, hives and itching, and you get like a bloated distension after you eat gluten, then maybe you have a low grade response, but I can't say that would be like the thing that's going to change fertility for you.
Yeah, so if someone has suggested to you to go gluten-free, I would ask that question, if by doing this, am I creating more stress in my life, or is it alleviating it? Do I feel like I'm alleviating one thing that could be causing my infertility? Okay, I feel better about it. Or do I not really believe that it's causing it, and it's really just making it a lot harder on me to eat food on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. If someone had asked me that and I was thinking of that question before, I would have said it would have just been like another annoying thing I have to worry about. I don't know if it would spike my cortisol levels, but it would just be like another thing.
Yep.
So everyone, that's a good way to think about it. Is it going to add more stress? And speaking of that, a thing that I don't usually recommend or wouldn't recommend for somebody who's trying to get pregnant in the near future or maybe actively trying to get pregnant is also pursuing weight loss. Mm. And that's kind of a vague statement because, you know, one of the clients that I was talking about, she's only trying to lose like 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing anything drastic to help her get there. We're not going on any crazy diets because I don't want her to deplete her nutrient stores or add more stress to her life. Instead, we're looking at healthy habits and making some simple swaps that most likely are going to lead to a 5 pound weight loss or at least some bloat inflammation decrease that will make her feel like she's 5 pounds less. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't recommend somebody, unless, you know, recommended by a medical doctor, while they're actively trying to conceive, do any kind of extreme diet in the name of weight loss.
Yeah, you don't really want to be lowering your calories under the amount that you're burning when you're trying to conceive. Because if you think about it, I always go back to like caveman, hunter, and gatherer times to think about the reason why our bodies do certain things. But I mean, if there's not enough calories around, one of the first things to go is your period, right? And so that's your body literally saying, we cannot conceive. There's not enough calories to go around for us to have another human, to be able to feed another human. And so if you're indicating to your body that there's not enough food to go around to support another life, you're much less likely to be able to conceive.
I can speak to that 100%. I've talked about this on that podcast before. In my early 20s, I didn't feel like I was under eating, but I was over exercising and not eating enough because I was trying to look a certain way, lifting heavy weights, burning a lot of energy, and I didn't have a period for 14 months. And it wasn't until I started cutting back on the burning of calories and burning of energy consistently until I got a regular period. Yeah. So this pregnancy, it was unplanned, it was unexpected, very much wanted, but unexpected. And I had always had in the back of my head, oh, I might have trouble when I do try to conceive because I went through such a long time of having amenorrhea. But it was simply because during that time in my life, I just wasn't eating enough to match my activity level.
Yeah.
So in a similar vein, don't undereat, and also don't push yourself right now to do more exercise unless you're going to meet those caloric needs. So if you're trying to conceive, it might not be the best time to do Hell Week at Orange Theory when you're going in and doing high intensity workouts 5 days a week.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would recommend decreasing would be alcohol if you're trying to conceive, or if you're trying to conceive and you're having difficulty. this doesn't necessarily mean you have to completely completely get rid of alcohol, but decreasing it can help improve not only your egg quality, but your partner's sperm quality. So if you've got a partner who's consuming a lot of alcohol, you might recommend that he slows down as well.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Same with vaping. Yeah. I was listening to my favorite guy, this is like the third time I've mentioned him today, Andrew Huberman, talking about all the detrimental effects on egg quality in vaping.
Well, just in general, like anything that's causing inflammation in the body is something that you want to decrease when you're trying to conceive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. But a little bit won't hurt. Like, don't stress if you're having a couple glasses of wine. You know, again, taking it out of your diet is always going to be better than adding it back in. But you don't have to be a crazy person about it if you enjoy a couple glasses of wine on the weekend. The other thing I'd recommend doing, especially if you've got some time between now and when you're trying to conceive, is putting on some muscle stores. You don't have to go in there and aim to become a bodybuilder. You don't have to try to gain a ton of muscle mass because that takes a long time anyway. But throughout my first trimester experience, I was really grateful that I had had muscle mass and that I had been in that habit of working out and lifting, because I've barely worked out at all in the past, I don't know, from weeks 5 till now. At the time I'm recording this, I'm 13. I think I've worked out in the gym 6 or 7 times, and they were half-ass workouts. I mean, sitting on the machine and just kind of doing the bare minimum because I was so exhausted, so tired. And I mean, I'm just weaker. Your body's mm-hmm. building a baby and a placenta, and your organs are working overtime. So lifting weights and exerting energy is hard. And I just feel grateful that I had already been working out and training. Otherwise, I would have felt just, I would feel awful right now as I kind of come out of that first trimester funk.
Yeah, I was extremely surprised at how much I was able to hold on to the muscle mass that I had built. And I mean, this was like a 6-year building of muscle. Right. But I thought, okay, 2-3 months without it, I'm just going to lose all of it. It probably stuck around for a good year afterwards. It's not here anymore, but it stuck around for a while. So that was one of the cool things. I was like, oh, I didn't lose that all right away.
It takes a while to lose muscle mass. I mean, mm-hmm. it takes a long time to atrophy. I think somebody who might be more at risk for rapid decline of muscle mass would be somebody who has hyperemesis during pregnancy, which, again, you won't know until you get into the thick of it. And that's where somebody is throwing up all the time,
yeah.
just constantly throwing up any time of day. They lie to you. They say it's in the morning. No, it could be any time of day where you get sick and throw up. And if you can't hold nutrient stores down, you can't hold protein down, your body would pull from muscle mass. I've been reading a lot of forums of other women who are in a similar time frame as me, who are just losing a lot of weight. And it's not a good thing, but they're losing a lot of weight because of the hyperemesis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a dangerous thing. Their baby's fine. They're just losing weight because they can't hold on to food. And some of that could be coming from muscle tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't know what your body's going to do when you go into pregnancy. But I just feel grateful that I did have some muscle mass.
Yeah.
And I feel bloated and puffy, but I don't feel like I've lost muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I go in the gym and I'm not doing anything intense because I don't have the mental willpower. So I'm sure my strength has gone down a little bit, but not so much my body comp.
Yeah, so I think because I went into it thinking like, oh, if I take 2 weeks off of lifting, I'm so much weaker. That also means I'm losing muscle. But that wasn't the truth. It was, I felt weaker, but I wasn't just losing muscle all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. So part of that goes with eating adequate protein, eating adequate food. Not only if you eat, you know, a wide variety of whole healthy foods that contain actual nutrients, so you can think of these as nutrient-dense foods, you're going to just be having those stores in your body. Because if you go into the first trimester and you feel sick, or if you're like me, I'd get a little sick. I only threw up two times. One time something actually came out. But I was just, a lot of foods turned me off.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't interested in eating a lot of protein. I love Greek yogurt. I eat it probably twice a day, but during pregnancy, I did not want anything to do with Greek yogurt. Protein powder even kind of weirded me out. Chicken, forget about it, except Chick-fil-A. I've definitely eaten Chick-fil-A chicken, probably because it's not high-quality chicken, did it for me. So I was just glad that, you know, my diet was healthy before, and now that I'm feeling better, I have healthy habits that I haven't lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I was worried about that. I was like, is this going to change me as a person? Because when I tell you, I felt like a, I don't want to say a hypocrite because I knew what's going on, but I wasn't eating the way I preach most days. Like, I had a few good days.
I had the exact same experience.
Yeah. Literally, you know, I'm, like, talking to people and telling them to eat more vegetables, and then I come home and have buttered noodles for dinner.
Yeah.
With nothing.
And this is probably more of the first trimester talk, but what I tell people now, having been through it, is you can only do what you can do. Like, there's no point in me giving you nutrition advice during your first trimester. There's just not, because your body is going to tell you what it can keep down, what you want, what you don't want. It doesn't matter if you have a perfect diet down to the T that you want to follow, it's just not going to happen for most people.
I'll have a good story that I'll save for the first trimester podcast that follows that. But, you know, we can't talk about preconception and fertility without talking about prenatal vitamins.
Start taking it now. If you're thinking about it at all, even if you're like, this might happen, just start taking it now. Build up your folic acid stores. It takes a while to do that if you're depleted. So just start doing it now.
And that's what I didn't do. And I can't lie, I'm a little anxious about it because I wasn't taking a prenatal. I wasn't taking any vitamins other than my magnesium and fish oil down then. Mm-hmm. But if I could go back in time, that'd be the first thing I did. It was the first thing I did. The night I found out I was pregnant, the first thing I did the next morning was go and get a prenatal.
Yeah.
And prenatals can be very confusing when you go in the aisle and you look at it or you search online. So I have a few recommendations for what to look for. And then I know you have recommendations for what you use too. Mm-hmm. But the first thing would be to, if you are concerned that maybe your body doesn't absorb folic acid, which some people's don't. It's hard to know until you actually go get those levels checked. But you want to look for a prenatal that has an active form of folate with L-methylfolate or 5-methyltetrahydrofolate.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, big words. Those are just the active forms of folate that can be broken down and digested. Mm-hmm. The first prenatal I got does not have those active forms. I just kind of panic bought one. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's okay. But I also hate my first prenatal. I'm not really going to recommend it. It has 127% of the daily value of iron.
Okay.
Which has rocked my stomach.
Okay.
It did have the other recommendation that we'll talk about here in a minute. It was one a day advanced, and it really hurt my stomach. And then when I went on a trip with my boyfriend, and I forgot to take it one night, and the next day we drove home, and I had no nausea, no pit in my stomach. When you'd imagine being in a car for 5 hours, you'd be sick and nauseous. So then I took it again the next day, and the nausea was back really bad. So I've now flip-flopped that one with a gummy, and that is not what I'd recommend for most people. But I figured if I'm taking one that's got all the nutrients and then I flip-flop it with one that just has the folate, I'll be okay without having to feel so sick every day.
The only one that didn't make me nauseous, so I bought probably 4 different ones because Lucky's was going out of business. Mm. And so I went and just bought 4 different ones because I had heard some might make you nauseous. Okay. The only one that I could take was Nature Made, the one that they sell everywhere, with the DHA soft gels. That was the only one that didn't make me nauseous. Okay. And it's approved by Consumer Lab.
Okay, there we go.
I didn't feel bad about it. It's super cheap. There's another brand. I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
I'll list that because I'm going to, after I finish my one a day, they were like $60. So I'm like, I'm going to finish these. I'm going to flip flop to a better one. I was also looking at Thorn. Thorn has a really good prenatal that I think theirs is iron free, the Thorn one. But then you'd also want to take a separate DHA, which is the other supplement, at least while you're pregnant, that you want to take, but it doesn't help to take this it doesn't hurt to take this before you get pregnant either. I mean, and DHA is an omega-3 that helps with cognition and brain development. You want at least 200 milligrams of DHA in your supplement. Some have up to 400. So Thorn has a great prenatal and a separate DHA prenatal. You'd have to take them in 2 different pills, though.
The only thing to be aware of with the Thorn is that it's 3 capsules a day.
That's a lot of capsules. Mm-hmm.
So if you are the type of person who gets nauseous taking things, it's a lot of capsules to take. I do recommend the Thorn prenatal for, like, before conception, because a lot of times people don't have as much issue. So if you're of conception age, like, even if you're in college, I'll have girls take this just because it has everything that you need in it. But just being aware that it's 3 three pills to take. But the reason for that is it does help absorption. So if you could take one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and one in the evening, that is a best case scenario for your body absorbing all the nutrients in there. And that's why they do it that way. But just know, if you're not the type of person who's going to do that, or you're not going to take three pills at once, that's probably not the one for you. But as far as quality goes, that's probably one of the top that you can get.
Did you find the other one?
No, not yet. I'm going to look at my previous orders on Amazon.
While you do that, I'll mention the other supplement that I recently learned about. I actually learned this from my client and then looked into. And there's a little bit of value to it. It's CoQ10. So CoQ10 is a coenzyme, and it's involved in the energy production of all the cells. So there's been studies that show it helps with egg quality. As you age, your egg quality can decline. So if you're concerned about that, then CoQ10 doesn't hurt. And it can also be beneficial for supporting ovulation.
Interesting. That's not something that I took during or was aware of at all.
Me neither.
So the prenatal is called Deva, D-E-V-A. It's one of the cheaper ones that you can get on Amazon. It's $15 for 90 tablets. And the reason I came across this is because it was rated number one in Consumer Lab for having everything that a woman needs during the preconception and conception period, other than the DHA, obviously, which you have to take separately.
Okay, I might look into that one because I already have a separate DHA. And I kind of feel like now that I'm in my second trimester almost, I'll be able to tolerate some more intense prenatals, because in the beginning, like, the nausea just, it was a lot. It was just hard to function. And I didn't even have it as bad as other women do. So, it does take some trial and error. I have a client who's currently taking an iron-free prenatal because it constipates her to take a lot of iron. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon to have a lot of GI distress, including constipation, during pregnancy, especially in the early days of pregnancy. So if you're having constipation, you can switch to an iron-free. If you're not worried about your iron stores, you might have to get those checked and chat about that with your doctor. If you're taking an iron prenatal, like a prenatal that has a lot of iron, I swear by taking magnesium glycinate. Okay. You have to take the glycinate form. It's very gentle on your digestive system. I've had zero issues with constipation on the days I remember to take my magnesium glycinate at night.
Yeah.
On the days I don't, it's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah.
So my magnesium glycinate, I take 400 milligrams. It's a great way to just relax the digestive muscles, help things move along. Iron's known to be something that constipates you, so it can be helpful. I was even reading a study, and I don't want to get into this too much, that taking magnesium every day also just helps with anxiety around pregnancy, because you can have a lot of anxiety.
There's legit studies behind that, for sure.
Yeah, but I don't think I suffer from anxiety the same way, so I don't feel like I'm the best person to recommend a supplement for anxiety. Just me personally.
There's definitely some studies behind that, but also if you do get pregnant and have a baby, you're gonna need magnesium afterwards for your bowel movements, so just buy that right now and just have it on hand.
FYI. So I'll make sure I list the prenatals that we talked about in the show notes, because I know that's a lot. Also, I know, Megan, you have a blog post about what you wished you knew during the first trimester on our website, orlandodietitian.com. So you can look at that. You mentioned just a few links and stuff. I looked at that. That was one of the first things I looked at, because I didn't even tell you until a week ago. Yeah, it's like one of the
things.
She was
keeping a secret for 3 months.
I would like show up in the office and just like not look at you.
I thought she was avoiding me.
No. Well, I didn't find out till 5 weeks, so it was only 2 months.
Okay. That makes it better.
The last thing I want to talk about, and then I think we're going to record a first trimester podcast that will be probably a little bit shorter and less sciencey, is get in the habit of hydrating. If you're not good at drinking water, it's going to be a rough road for you when you do get pregnant. So get in the habit of drinking water, carrying a water bottle with you, having water at meals. Because during this first trimester, I have been 3 times as thirsty as I ever was. I'm so thirsty all the time because your body is just using a lot. And you're making a baby that's made of water, and your amniotic fluid, like, it's all water. So if you're not in the habit of drinking water, you're going to be in for a curveball.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I have. Anything else you want people to know about preconception, fertility?
I think we covered all the important stuff. You know, take the prenatal, do as many anti-inflammatory foods as possible. Cut out the things that are causing inflammation if you can.
We didn't really touch on that too much.
Okay.
Well, let's just for like a... We talk about anti-inflammatory foods a lot. When you say anti-inflammatory foods, what do you mean?
I mean nuts and seeds, so things that are high in those omega-3 fats, your fatty fish, anything that's green or anything that's high in antioxidants, so your raspberries, your kale, your baby spinach, arugula, blueberries... What else?
Avocados.
Things that have healthy fat in them are things that are high in antioxidants.
Yep, yep. Because, again, during that first trimester, you might not want to eat that.
Right.
That's okay.
Right. And then just, like, having an overall healthy diet, like, those foods should be included every single day.
Yep, absolutely. And if you're concerned about weight loss, if you're focusing on eating more of those anti-inflammatory foods, those can contribute to feeling fuller on less food, which could result in weight loss. It's a lot more complex than that. I'd recommend hooking up with one of our dietitians if you want to chat about that, you know, weight loss while trying to conceive, how to focus on eating more of those healthy foods, and really pinpointing what direction you need to go in to get you at a healthy weight if that is a concern for you and your doctor. But again, would not recommend any crash diets. I wouldn't recommend fasting. That was one thing. My client that I talked to, she was just fasting in the morning because it's just what she did.
Yeah.
And then coming home and snacking and binging and eating a bunch of stuff. Even though she was a really healthy weight, there was no reason to put that stress on her body. And then she was making suboptimal choices later. So I would not fast while trying to conceive.
I don't know if this has happened to you. I don't know if it's just the age range that we talk to, but how many clients have you had where you're one of the first people that they tell that they're pregnant? Because they come in, they don't come in for that. And they come in, they're like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. And then they come in, they're like, so I have news.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Wait, I have the best story with that. I had a guy come in. He was in his late 30s, early 40s. And he came in just looking tired. And we sit down, it's like 8 a.m. And I was like, what's up? What's new with you? He paused, the longest pause. I was like, was something wrong? And then he looks at me, he goes, my girlfriend's pregnant. And I was like, what? He goes, we just found out. And so like, I know she just had the baby like a month ago, and I've been like loving the journey that he's been going on. But I was like, oh, it's the most exciting thing ever. And I was the first person he told he had just found out the night before, was in utter shock, still showed up. I was like, how do we talk about anything else right now?
Yeah.
But I love that. So, hey, if you're pregnant and want to talk about it, because I wanted to talk about it with everyone, but...
No, I mean, because we work our magic, and now you're eating better, and then all of a sudden it just happens for you.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Please.
Don't take that seriously. Yes. But it has happened more times than I can count.
Yeah. I know. I love it. Well... That's all I got to say about fertility. All of our contact information is in the show notes. So if you do want to make an appointment, or you want to send us a DM, or if you want links to any of the products that we talked about today, I'm going to do my best to list all of those out in the show notes. But if there's something that you're not sure about, just send us a direct message on nutrition.awareness.com and we'll get back to it. Or Instagram, nutrition.awareness on Instagram.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Nutrition Awareness Podcast. And if you did find it helpful and want to share it with the whole world, screenshot this episode and tag us on Instagram in your stories at nutrition.awareness so we can connect with you.
To get notified about the next episode of Nutrition Awareness, be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode.
And to create your own personalized nutrition plan with us, be sure to schedule your virtual or in-person consultation on our website, www.orlandodietitian.com.
Now get out there, fuel up, and live your healthiest life. We'll see you on the next episode.